This is part 5 of the Seeing Jesus series. Now, this short talk is from Matthew chapter 8 and it's called The Cost of Following Jesus. The passage reads, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes around him, he gave the order to depart to the other side. A scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said to him, 'The foxes have holes and the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, allow me to first go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead.'" This seems like a very stark message from Jesus this evening. There are many people who followed him for all kinds of reasons. Some wanted to see a great spectacle. Some wanted to see amazing miracles happening to people. Some wanted miracles for themselves. Some wanted to hear the oratory of a great speaker and a great teacher. Some wanted to genuinely hear what he had to say to see if it was a worthwhile thing. And some believed in him. But I think those were more in the least rather than the most. And at this particular time, Jesus sees these great multitudes who have come for all these reasons to see him and to hear him. And he knows the intentions of every human heart. He knows what our motives are, even though a lot of times we don't know ourselves. And when he sees these multitudes and he knows the earthly and unspiritual reasons they have to be there, sort of try to feed their flesh, try to have some kind of entertainment, he says to his disciples, "Depart to the other side of the lake." And the other disciples did that, and Jesus stayed on this side of the lake that he was on. And at that time, a scribe came, one of the religious leaders came to him, somebody who worked for the temple. And this person said something quite unusual, really, because usually the religious leaders were diametrically opposed to Jesus, and they hated him, and they hated his words, and they hated the way he could do all these amazing things that they couldn't explain. It didn't seem to fit into their way of thinking, and they didn't like it. So the scribe came and said to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Now that's quite interesting, because he doesn't say "good teacher" like others who came to Jesus said. He just says "teacher." He realizes that Jesus is a teacher, and he wants to follow Jesus. He realizes that his teaching is actually worthwhile, and he has somewhat dedicated, because he says he's going to follow wherever Jesus goes. That's quite a big undertaking. That's quite a big claim to make, that I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go where Jesus goes. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to take on his attitudes. I want to be like he is. That is a very difficult position to be in. And it's a very difficult prayer to pray. It's a very dangerous prayer to pray. I want to be like you, Jesus. Because we don't know what we're asking. The Lord Jesus was known as the man of sorrows in this world. There is no record of him having jokes and laughs with people. Life was for one purpose only, to glorify his Father in heaven. And it is said that zeal for his Father and for his Father's kingdom consumed him. And if we are to live like that, we are going to get some negative remarks and some negative feedback from other people. Jesus saw a lot of sinfulness which he hated. Sinfulness that he wanted to forgive and wanted to people to come to him. But he had to watch evil people doing evil things, and he had to understand their mindset, and I'm sure that was quite upsetting to him, and it's upsetting for us if we understand what people's mindsets actually are in some way. We cannot understand like him, but we can begin to see things, and the closer we grow to the Lord Jesus and the more we become like him, and the more we seek holiness, then the more this world is going to disappoint us, and we're going to see things that are very negative. And of course, Jesus laid down his life for other people. And if we are going to follow him, then that is going to be our mindset as well. And that is going to cause us untold grief, because we will serve people and we will do things for people and witness to people and seek to help people, and they will reject us, they will take advantage, they will be unthankful and ungodly about it. And really, following Jesus and being like him is a very difficult choice, a very difficult place to be. And Jesus sought to show this man what he was asking. He said to him, "The foxes that live in the ground, they have holes to live in. The beasts have places that they can retreat to of comfort and safety, and where they can have their food. And the birds of the air, they have nests. They have places to go where they can be safe and where they can have their young. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And here Jesus identifies with us. He calls himself the Son of Man. He is part of us. He is our race of beings. He is a human. And he says, "I have nowhere to call home. I have no bed to lie in. I have no place of safety. I have no one that I can confide in. I have no place of comfort. Do you want that? Is that what you want in your life?" And then another of his disciples perhaps overheard this and said to him, "Lord, well, I want to follow you too, but please can I just go and bury my father?" Now, some people say that the father wasn't even dead yet, but I think the disciple was being honest here. His father had died, and he wanted to go and bury his father to carry out his family duties. And Jesus says to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their dead." Now, Jesus was not suggesting we leave our family members unburied, but there are other people who can do that. The ordinary jobs in life, the tedious things, the day-to-day things that we all have to do, other people can do that. But if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to follow him and do what he wants and put his kingdom first and put the message of the gospel first and put teaching people first. And this is very hard to do, because many people will not understand it, and many people will perhaps reject you as they rejected Jesus. So really, if we're thinking about maybe it's a good idea to follow Jesus, I need to be forgiven, I want to go to heaven, I want to be a good person, well, Jesus is showing us here there's a little more to it than we might think, because it following Jesus is going to cost us. It's going to cost us in our lives, it's going to cost us in our physical lives, in our comfort, the amount of money that we have or that we might keep for ourselves. It's going to cost us in our mind. We might be distressed about things we see. We are going to be disappointed by this world as we draw closer to Christ. And we are going to be emotionally affected, because we will be upset by other people's attitudes and what other people do. And perhaps we will be people of sorrows in our life. But zeal for the Lord must consume us, and we put him first, and we work for him, and we live for him first, above all other considerations. And really, we do need to count the cost before we come to Christ. We do need to think about what we're going to lose out on and what we're going to have to give up. But you know, we're missing out something really wonderful, because to follow Jesus means you have the company of the Lord Jesus in your life every moment of the day. You have his word, which he will help you to understand, and the Holy Spirit will teach you. You will have the comfort of his promises, which are all over the Bible. We will have the joy of the Lord, which will give us strength and hope. And we will come to a point where we realise that what we give up for his sake is nothing compared to what we get. To follow him and to love him, to have his company, and to be a person that he will walk with and that he will teach us and keep us, is such a privilege and such a wonderful thing. And we should seek that first and foremost in all of our lives, all of us as Christians, not just a few, not just some high and lift up people, but for all of us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the other things that we think we miss or we think we need, all these things will be added to us as well. And we will have everything that we need. It will all be provided. But we will have primarily the joy of the Lord and the knowledge of the word and the wisdom and the discernment of the word of God to make us wise people. And our hearts will become loving and kind. Our hearts will become soft to Christ and soft to other people. So, counting the cost, we must all count the cost, but let us remember that what he did for us was far beyond any kind of cost that we could ever give up for his sake.